Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, as always. I don't even remember the last episode with Danny. That was 2 weeks ago. Either way, we wanted to get at least one more in for June before we go off to California for a couple weeks. So this is our pre-vacation recording. We got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, there is a lot of time in the summer. There's not a lot going on. This year feels like we've got a ton going on.
Yeah, so Game 3 of the College World Series is tonight, Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. So by the time you're listening to this, that'll be over. College baseball is one of my favorite, most underrated sports, especially the playoffs. And then NBA playoffs, conference finals are in. There's also the Euros and the Copa America soccer tournaments that we're going to cover. I haven't picked an order yet for that, so we'll kind of just play it by ear. Is there anything else we need to talk about?
I think that's let's see how we do, but that's going to be a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so should be we'll try to cover everything deeply, but as efficiently as possible. So we're California. We got a couple of national parks we're going to hit up: Sequoia and Kings Canyon, and then we're going to go to Pebble Beach, go to Giants game. They're playing the Nationals, and then just kind of hang out. So that's our couple weeks. But should we just get College World Series out of the way? Start with that.
Sure. Let's do it.
So the main thing I want to talk about with that is, so again, the final tonight, by the time you're listening to it, it'll probably be over. I think Vanderbilt's going to win. They're the defending champions from 2019, because there wasn't a tournament in 2020. But North Carolina State, we talked about that, me and you, privately, I think, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what happened with them is they had players test positive for COVID. Some of the players who tested positive were even, I think it was like 4 were vaccinated. And then either 8 or 12 of the players that tested positive weren't vaccinated, something like that. So the first game they just had to play depleted. They had to play a baseball game with 13 players, which is basically impossible. And then the next day, the NCAA just made them forfeit the game. So they were in the semifinals against Vanderbilt. And then they could have gone to the World Series, but missed that opportunity. I guess with the vaccinated players, they didn't really do anything. But the unvaccinated players, I don't care if you get vaccinated or not, but I don't really have a whole lot of empathy if you test positive for COVID and you didn't get vaccinated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. So, yeah, poor NC State. We generally cheer for teams from North Carolina. But it seems like the series we've got going on is a pretty good one.
Very good. Mississippi State's awesome. They've been super good this year. You know what's crazy is so the best team in the country is Arkansas. And then Tennessee was the second best team in the SEC. They were the third best team in the country. So Vanderbilt and Mississippi State weren't even the two best teams in their conference. Mm-hmm. And they're both in the national championship.
Funny how that works. And that is why playoffs are good, is because anybody and everybody has the opportunity, at least. So go to the national championship.
You know what actually that brings up is the 12-team college football playoff. We haven't discussed that.
We have not discussed that.
I don't know how I feel. I think you're excited about it.
Yeah, I'd be happier with 16, but 12 is certainly better than 4. So that has not officially been announced as far as I'm aware. They're discussing it though.
My problem is, let's just look at the end of last season. So BYU, Indiana, Northwestern, Iowa State, and this is at the end of the year, so not who, I guess, would have made the playoffs technically, but yeah, all those teams would have made the playoffs. I don't need to see Alabama play BYU.
See, it's not about what you need to see, though. It's about whether or not BYU has earned the right to lose to Alabama by 50 points. And I think this year they earned that.
I don't think they, or Northwestern, or Coastal Carolina, for that matter, who would have been in it, did.
I mean, they lost one game by like 6 inches.
Well, yeah, they didn't really beat. It's less about BYU's schedule, more, I don't think it's fair for Alabama to dominate everyone and then have to play an extra game.
Well, with a 12-team playoff, they probably wouldn't have played BYU anyway. BYU probably would have played Notre Dame.
I would want to see that.
See?
I just think, I don't know. I just don't think that, like, the 12th team, and, like, if you're the 15th team, you're going to be arguing, like, oh, we should have gotten in. Like, well, you probably shouldn't have if you're 15th. You probably shouldn't have even gotten in at 12. So we just, I think
right, well,
four
like,
is a fine number.
That's not, I mean, you have that every single year with college basketball. There's always teams that feel like they should have got it in. It's never really a problem.
Well, for some people it is.
Sure, well, who cares what they think then?
Well, I do, because it's annoying.
Well, yeah, just like block them on Twitter. Use that mute button. The mute button is your friend.
I just think this year there were three legitimate teams that could have won a national championship. Uh-huh. Some years it's two, some years it's one, some years it's six.
You know, and I thought that North Carolina was going to beat Baylor, and I thought that Illinois was going to win the whole thing. But teams deserve the opportunity to win or lose in a playoff.
Not in football. You know football is different than basketball.
Sure, it's different.
It takes like, it's like a week plus at least, but it's typically a week to prepare. It's draining. There's going to be so many games the college kids are playing. Like, it's going to go so far into the year, they might have to shorten the regular season. Like, it's just adding all these games takes so much time. There's no more bowl games, which I know most people don't care about, but I like the Holiday Bowl and the Sun Bowl and the Orange Bowl and all that stuff. And
sure, but a 12-team playoff, we're adding, for the top four seeds, we're adding one additional game. For the other teams that make the playoff, we're adding two or three, depending on what way you look at it.
Right, well, those games stretch out to weeks.
Yeah, I know, that's a long time. But in the NFL, obviously they're professionals and they're getting paid, but they're playing 16 to 20. Like, a college team,
they get hurt a lot.
15. Yeah.
Well, like,
college people get hurt a lot.
That's what I'm saying. We shouldn't add opportunities to that.
Well, if that's your perspective, then we shouldn't be playing football at all.
Well, that's not, I mean, I love football, but like, I think how it's set up is fine. I honestly, the perfect scenario would just be to play standard bowl games, just how it was like in 98, and then just do a plus one. So like, and that doesn't, but for me, that'd be perfect. So like, after that is when you pick the national championship, and then like those two teams play. I know that's not perfect. I know there's a lot of pros of the playoff, and I actually kind of like it at four, but I think, the one thing is interesting is the top six conference champions would get in, as opposed to like the top five power five. So like, hypothetically, instead of the Pac-12, both the Mountain West and the American Conference could get in automatically or something like that.
Theoretically, but like, when are they going to put the American Conference ahead of the Pac-12?
Well, they did last year because Cincinnati is the highest ranked team.
Oh, so it's just based on...
It's the highest ranked conference champion.
Okay.
So it's the top six conference champions get automatic bids. So like, last year it would have been Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Cincinnati would have been good. And obviously, like, other teams would have gotten in. So, like, the SEC is probably going to get three or four teams a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's not Pac-5 teams get an automatic bid. So, if we're doing it this way, I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. And I'm sure I'm going to watch all the games, so I'm going to be excited. I'm just saying I don't necessarily need to see Ohio State play Louisiana Monroe, you know what I mean?
Well, they would not be playing Louisiana Monroe unless Louisiana Monroe wins the first round of the playoff, in which case they deserve to lose to Ohio State.
Agree to disagree. I strongly disagree, but
right.
Let's talk about soccer real quick, and then we'll finish with the NBA.
Cool.
So, I thought France was going to win the Euros. Let's start with the Euros first. They lost an awesome game to Switzerland. The day, Monday, when Croatia played Spain and France played Switzerland, that was like the dopest. Two awesome games.
Great couple of games.
So Portugal, Germany, and France are all out. Germany lost to England 2-0 yesterday. I think it was yesterday, yeah. And then Portugal lost to Belgium, who is the number one team in the world. But they're out not having Kevin De Bruyne or Eden Hazard playing against Italy.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think at this point is who I think is going to win.
Yeah, Italy, I think if they were not the favorite at the start of the tournament, I think they became the favorite after the group stage. I mean, they are just on a tear. Nobody is able to score on them except for Austria in this last round. But no, yeah, I think Italy looks very, very good right now.
Yeah, they've been playing unbelievable. I think, I'm trying to think my ideal matchup. Obviously, so we're part, like, our mom's all Danish, so cheering for Denmark, but I think just sort of pure soccer-wise, I'd love to see, like, an Italy-Spain final.
That'd be fun. I don't know. I would like to see England go far. I think it is. It's fun when England does well in the, for the same reason that it's fun when the Knicks do well, just because their fans overreact to absolutely everything.
See, I'm torn because our dad's family's English, so, like, I want to cheer for England, but it's also so funny when they lose.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So, I would like England for that reason. Our brother lived in Italy for a couple years, and so if Italy wins, he's never going to shut up about it, so I'm tempted to root against Italy for that reason.
They've been the funnest team to watch, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think Italy's going to win. No, actually, yeah. I'd bet on Italy if I had to bet money today, but I also bet on France and they lost. So,
yeah.
So also, look up Karim Benzema's goal, his first goal. Like, the actual shot was fine, but, like, he had a touch, like, behind his leg. That was just unbelievable.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Let me think. I think that's kind of it on the Euros. So that's that final's early July. So the quarterfinals start Saturday and Sunday. And next week they do the semis. Italy, Belgium's going to be good. Switzerland, Ukraine. I like Switzerland, but I'm nonplussed by Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Spain's playing England, is that right? Is that the next game? And then Denmark.
Down, it'll show you.
Oh, no, Switzerland. Oh, I read this all wrong. So Ukraine's playing England. Switzerland's playing Spain. So that will be a dope game, actually, Switzerland and Spain.
Yeah.
And then they're playing Denmark. Oh, cool. All
right. I'm going to call sort of an upset. I'm going to say that Italy beat Denmark in the final. I'm going to pick Denmark to go all the way.
See, I was actually going to say I think Denmark could beat Spain, so I actually was going to pick Denmark in the finals. I'm just going to pick, you know, just for the heritage, for the 23andMe, England-Denmark final.
That'd be a fun final.
I think Italy's going to do it, but that'd be fun. Now let's look at the Copa America, which we're much more invested in, I think, just because we lived in Chile for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in Brazil, and this is a South American tournament. So there's 8 teams left: Brazil, Chile, Peru, Paraguay, Uruguay, Colombia, then Argentina and Ecuador.
And really quick, I want to stop you there just because I want you to think about all of these teams. I hold that the Copa America is the most talented soccer tournament in the world. I realize that Brazil is ahead of all of these other countries, but if you're not familiar with South American soccer, Peru is very good, has some very good players. Paraguay, not typically a great team. They've got Miguel Almirón right now.
He's awesome.
We all know Colombia and Uruguay are really good. Ecuador made this last World Cup with Argentina. So just the level of play with CONMEBOL, these South American teams, I think is better. Like, Ukraine is not getting to this stage of the Copa America, for example.
Well, no, because the Copa America, so their groups were, they just had 2 groups of 5, because every team in South America makes it, but then you have to play everybody to get to the quarterfinals. So you have to play, instead of 3 group games, it's 4 group games, which is a lot. Like, that takes a lot out of you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, from top to bottom, well, I'd say, like, the Pac-12 is obviously not better than the SEC, and that's not the argument you're making, but I think that's the top team of the Pac-12 to the bottom team of the Pac-12 is a lot closer than Alabama to Vanderbilt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the same argument you're making, but top to bottom,
yeah,
South America is way more competitive than top to bottom in any other continent.
Sure. And the difference between, you know, South America, Europe, SEC, Pac-12 is you don't really have, like, Oregon in Washington, really they're not competing with Alabama, Georgia, those SEC teams. Brazil, Argentina, Chile, those teams are competing with the best teams in Europe. So
they're just as good. Just as funny when they lose. Love Chile, but I love watching Argentina and Brazil lose just as much. And Brazil plays Chile, so I'm a little nervous. They're the best team, though. I don't get why they got to host it again, because Brazil hosted the Copa America in 2019 as well. So can you explain why they're hosting it again?
Yes. So this year was supposed to be co-hosted with Argentina and Colombia.
Which is like Georgia and Washington co-hosting a tournament.
Yeah, so kind of weird. Well, I guess, you know, maybe the north of Argentina, that's not too bad. But anyway, Argentina had a bad COVID outbreak, and so they had to lock down a lot of the country, unfortunately. And then Colombia is having some political struggles. There have been riots and some other things. And so hopefully everybody in Colombia is okay, but they were not in a state to host right now. And so Brazil, they just recently hosted the World Cup. They had done a Copa America pretty recently, and so they just had the most stadiums that they could get ready quickly. I think Uruguay could have co-hosted with Brazil. Chile would have had enough stadiums, and they could have hosted if they'd wanted to. I'm not sure if Chile even wanted to host, but Brazil was probably just had the most stadiums available the most quickly just because it's so big.
Who do you think will win?
The whole thing?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to pick against Chile, but considering that we don't know how healthy Alexis Sanchez is, I'm going to say that Brazil wins the whole thing.
I think so, too. Yeah, so Alexis Sanchez, Chile's most prolific goal scorer. Vidal might be better. You can debate that, but Sanchez is the best goal scorer, yes. I'd say.
Yeah.
He got a foot injury in World Cup qualifiers. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Argentina hasn't won a major trophy since 1991. Is that right?
Well, however long Messi's been on the team.
I think the last, let me look it up, because I thought they won the Copa America in 1991. Argentina major trophy.
Now, with Messi, Argentina did win either the U20 Olympics or the U20 World Cup or the Olympics. That does not count as a major tournament because those are both played with youth teams and not the the major international team. And Argentina, just while you're looking that up, it's really interesting because they have as much talent as Brazil does. Maybe not always,
they're
but certainly this
year. They're super good.
But they are just made up of a bunch of guys who play really well for their club teams, and for whatever reason, they just have not figured out how to play together super well. They've made it to the Copa America finals in 2015, 2016. They made the final of the World Cup in 2014. So they have been a pretty good team, but they just have not been able to score enough in finals to be able to win. So, and now they are a little bit older. Messi obviously is still Messi, but Mascherano's not there anymore. And so they've had a little bit of a turnover similar to Chile, where they're trying to integrate a bunch of new players and figure out what is this playing style that's going to be successful for us.
So they won the World Cup in 86. They won the Confederations Cup in 92. You can decide if that counts or not. But
yeah, I mean, they don't invite a lot of teams, but I think it's impressive, even though a lot of countries don't take it seriously.
So when me and you were born is the latest. When speaking of the Olympics, so in 2016, when Brazil hosted the Olympics, they had like Neymar and stuff play on the Olympic soccer team just so they could win. And that to me was just the most, but it was more embarrassing that they won, honestly, just like that they had Neymar play. It would have been better to lose with their youth team than win with Neymar. Because it's like sending your varsity team to a JV tournament and like being stoked that you won.
I get what you're saying. But if I'm a Brazilian and I buy a ticket to watch Olympic soccer, I just want to watch Neymar. I'm not too concerned about those things you're talking about. I just want to see Neymar score goals.
Well, remember, Brazilians were pretty celebrating pretty hard. In 2014, the World Cup was in Brazil. They lost 7-1 against Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the best days of my life. And then in 2015, they lost in the Copa America. I believe they lost Argentina.
Yes.
And then Chile beat Argentina in the final. So they lost two tournaments in a row. So they literally just like, oh, we got to win something. So they just sent Neymar to the Olympics. I just think it's embarrassing that they did that, honestly, and that they were so happy about it.
I mean, Brazil certainly is due. Well, they did win the Copa América in 2019, so I shouldn't say that. But yeah, those were a couple of disappointing years, but winning that Copa, and I'm sure they would have liked to have done a lot better in the World Cup in 2018, And they'll be looking to do well in this next World Cup coming up.
How did they do? I don't even remember the 2018 World Cup.
I think they lost, you know, not in the group stage, but like the first or second round.
Round of 16 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Brazil's going to win as well. I'd love Chile too. Argentina's not, just because they can't figure it out. I know you already talked about that, but just reiterating that. I think Argentina's as talented as Brazil. They just can't figure it out with Messi for whatever reason. And I don't think it's necessarily Messi's fault.
Yeah, he played. I mean, for World Cup qualifying in 2018, he basically got them in by himself the last, you know, three games. He scored a ton of goals to get them in. So
he's the best athlete I've ever seen live. And like, so Kobe is second place. But like, when I was in Barcelona, I went to a Barcelona game with him. And it was literally the most undescribable thing I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Patrick Peterson might be third.
Patrick Peterson's good.
I love, when we went to that Cardinals game, I was just blown away. Or Russell Wilson. One of those two is three. But Messi's number one, and it was like not even, it was unbelievable. Okay, should we talk about basketball for 5 minutes?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Phoenix is up 3-2 on the Clippers. They were up 2-1, up 3-1, and then the Clippers won this last game. I kind of think I'd be nervous if I was Phoenix.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen them beat Dallas. You've seen them beat Utah, who are both really good teams. I'm still picking Phoenix, but I do think that they have to, you know, play really hard, and these closeout games are going to be really, really rough. I saw something that, that doesn't actually make very much sense. It said that Ty Lue, I thought it said that he was 11-1 in elimination games. It must be like 11-5 or something. But the point is, he wins a lot more elimination games than he loses.
I didn't see the record, but he has like the best percentage, like by far, in NBA history.
Yeah, he is really. I always knew that he was a good coach, just in terms of like his relationships with his players, and obviously he's a smart basketball mind because you're a guard in the NBA and you get the head coach. You obviously know your stuff. But just watching that series against Utah, it was like I was so impressed by the adjustments that he made and watching him tinker with his team before he found something that like really, really worked. I was very, very impressed with his coaching.
Patient. Yeah, doing all that stuff. So it wasn't like losing the game, but he's like just trying to figure out the best thing.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Paul George?
I think that I don't want to say that he's redeemed himself in the sense that what he's done in this playoffs has made up for the last like three playoffs where he's performed very, very poorly. But I think he's shown that like he's capable of playing well in the playoffs. I'm not going to call him playoff P quite yet. But I think he's shown a lot of growth and maturity to be able to, you know, play as well as he has. I mean, part of it is just that he's making a lot of shots. Like the percentages that he's making, are sustainable even for someone like Steph Curry or Dame Lillard. But he's just playing so many minutes. He's playing great defense, and for him to kind of be the center of attention for the last few games of the Utah series and now with Phoenix, I'm very, very impressed.
I agree. I think this is the best he's played since he was in Indiana, as far as playoffs are concerned. What's bugging me is that I've seen some people be like, oh, everyone's real quiet about Paul George now. And it's like, well, we weren't making it up that he's been crappy in the playoffs for like 7 years or something like that. Like, that was real. Like, he's doing great now, but that doesn't erase what he's been doing in the past. So it's not like people are just making stuff up about Paul George just to slander the guy.
Yeah, when a player starts playing well, it doesn't mean that people were wrong about that player before. It just means that they improved.
New information. Right. It's not, and even with politics, when people are like, oh, he flip-flopped. I'm like, well, first of all, if they got new information that changed their opinion, I would want them to be flexible and adjust to that. But in sports, it's the same thing. It's like, he played better. Like, you can say that, but like that doesn't make you wrong about your previous analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what to say about Milwaukee and Atlanta just because both Giannis and Trae Young are hurt. We haven't even seen Giannis's injury. We're recording this on Wednesday. Is today Wednesday? Yeah.
Yes.
I haven't seen anything. So I don't know what to say about that. It was tied 2-2. It'd be dope if Atlanta won. But I also feel bad for Giannis. I hope he's healthy. Even if I don't really care who wins that game. I just hope Giannis, it's not the Bucks don't lose because Giannis got hurt.
Man, and at a Hawks-Suns NBA Finals sure would be something.
That would be pretty crazy. That'd be funny. Everyone, all my friends in Arizona are stoked that the Suns are in the finals, and none of them were Suns fans before, which is fine. I mean, it's more exciting if they win, but they're all in. So I wish I was there. It'd be a fun place to be, even though I'm not a Suns fan necessarily.
Yeah, good for them. Yeah, that's sort of my complaint with Warriors fans. It's like, we've been going to the Bay Area since we were born, pretty much. And I never saw somebody even mention that they watched the Warriors until about 2014. Now, they've always been Giants fans.
All Giants and Niners.
Yeah, always talk about the Giants. Always been good for them in good years and bad years. Mostly good years for the Giants, except for recently.
First place right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2015 to now was rough, but first place. Yeah, I think the Bay Area is like, especially San Francisco, but the Giants are the number one team, I think, more than the Niners there.
Yeah, based on what we've seen.
Yeah, and like we go there all the time. I lived in San Francisco for a little bit. By a little bit, I mean months, not years, but still lived there during. The Giants, that's only thing close to being in Barcelona again. Like San Francisco, when the Giants are playing, it's not the same as Barcelona when Barcelona has a game, but it's the closest thing I've been to in America as far as like a city being a part and like the energy on a game day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even close to Barcelona, but it's way closer than anything else I've seen in America. Yeah. Last thing I want to talk about real quick, NBA head coaches, just for like a minute and then we can go. So Chauncey Billups got hired by Portland. I thought, again, we're not plugged in on the NBA coaches. It's hard to see what's going to be a good from assistant to head coach. But I thought Chauncey was the number one guy. I thought Dallas was the number one job. I thought Boston was the number two job. He got hired by Portland, which, I don't know, maybe third, depending on what happens with Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Becky Hammon was the second, you know, one or two with Chauncey. She hasn't gotten hired yet. Little surprised by that. Boston hired a guy named Ime Udoka, so I don't know anything about him, so I'm sure it'll be great. But I was a little surprised. I thought that'd go to Chauncey, that job, the Boston job.
Yeah, just because he had played at Boston or because it was the best job available, you think?
I thought, yeah, like Mark Cuban, because they were still doing the GM search, so like I just thought it was the best job available with Dallas being a question mark, and he was the best candidate. So again, I'm not plugged in, obviously. Like, I'm just reading what everyone else is, but I just thought they'd hire Chauncey. But this Udoka guy, he was a Brooklyn assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Dame stays in Portland, Chauncey will be good there. I think they'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, people seem to really like Chauncey. I know there's been some other stuff about the sexual assault charges that were settled out of court. But just in terms of the basketball, I think he's going to be able to do a really good job. Especially working with Dame. I think Dame's going to appreciate having a point guard. I don't know what Terry Stotts played, but to have someone of Chauncey's caliber. I'm sure Chauncey was a better player than Terry Stotts was. So I think Dame's going to appreciate that. I know there's been a lot of talk about Dame leaving. I feel like he's going to stay at least for a couple of years with Chauncey.
He's under contract for 3 years. So worst case, Portland could just be like, no.
I don't know if they would say no. I mean, I guess Barcelona said no to Messi, but I feel like if Dame wanted to leave, I feel like he's done so much that I feel like that they would trade him. And well, they want to get something for sure.
If they did and I were Chauncey Billups, I'd be pissed. Like, not at Dame, but just like, because they would trade McCollum as well, just because you might as well just blow it up if you're trading Dame.
Yeah.
So that's not what Billups signed up for. So I'd be annoyed if that happened and I were Chauncey Billups.
Uh-huh.
I hope Becky Hammon doesn't get hired this cycle just because there's not really great jobs left, I think. Rick Carlisle got hired by Indiana. I think she's a good coach, but just like any coach, I think it depends a lot on the position you're in. So I'd like to see her in a good position just because I think she's good. Again, I don't know anything, but I think it'd be cool if she was successful.
Yeah.
So I'd like to – just like guys I want to succeed in the NFL, I was bummed when Robert Saleh got hired by the Jets. I would have hoped he got hired by – not the Jets.
Anybody
but yeah, the Jets. Yeah, literally anyone else. But he got hired by the Jets. So hope the Jets do well and hope Becky Hammon does well when she gets a head coaching gig.
Yeah, she'll get a job sometime.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I, again, we read everything everyone else says. But from what I hear, she's really good. Knows what she's doing. Players respect her. Anything else before we log off and hit California up for a little bit?
I think that's it for me.
Sounds good. We right at 30 minutes, basically. Nice. So pretty right on. So appreciate everybody listening. Watch the Euros. Watch the Copa America. And the World Series will be over. So we'll see who won that. But we will talk to you guys later.